Well, back in the book of James, in our series of messages. How did I know that was going to happen? Try it again. There we go. Book of James. How many of you ever liked the book of James? It's a good book. It's got a lot of practical instructions for us. And today is very practical to each one of us. And in transition to James 1, 22 through 25, I also put Luke 12, 41 through 48. Now, I don't want to explain Luke 12, 41 through 48, because if I do, you won't read it. So go home and read it this afternoon, because it goes right along with Jesus saying in Luke what James is saying here. Matter of fact, Peter says, asks a question in verse 41. Jesus, does this parable that you just stated apply to us as disciples too? Well, Jesus answers his question. So you read it, and talks about that he will be coming back one of these days. It's a parable about the wedding feast, and you will enjoy that reading as well. So join with me in verse 22 of James chapter 1. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently, that means getting right in the face of the mirror and looking straight on, intently, at the perfect law, and that's the same with the Bible, looking straight into it, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be what? Blessed. It didn't say that earlier, did it? If you hear the word, receive the word, but if you what? Become effectual doer, you will be blessed in what he does. I like this passage of scripture, and I try to read this quite often, just as a reminder to myself the importance of hearing, receiving, and doing the Word of God. So, James is saying if the implanted Word is received, it will work itself out into what I would say actions. You know, we hear a lot of things, we sit and think about it, but if we don't put it into action, it's just like sports. People who play sports, basketball, football, soccer, whatever the games are, if you just go practice and practice and practice, and then you come to the game on the day and then just sit on the sideline, you're not getting in the action, are you? And the same word, when we get into the Word of God and we read it and we hear the Word, we see it, it must be implanted in our hearts and our minds in order that we might put it into action, what James is saying. See, it is never sufficient to simply hear the word. We must take it into our heart and do it, James is saying. Simply hearing a good sermon or Bible study will not make you grow and receive God's best, I say best, blessings. So the implanted word must be accepted and then put into action. It is in doing the Word, God's Word, and spiritual growth, and the blessings will come. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. And that's sad when that happens. So God wants His people to put His Word into action. And the first way that we can put God's Word into action is to obey the Word. James said we need to obey it, be obedient to it. So in verse 22, it is a command, according to James, to be obedient and put the Word of God into actions. And that's why he says again in verse 22, but prove yourselves. Even Paul says that in 2 Timothy 3:15, that the Word of God is inspired and we are to put it into action as it applies to our lives. So, a genuine believer is one who receives the implanted Word and continually strives more and more practical using the Word of God. Now, that submitting, that's that yielding to the authority and comply to its directions and its instructions. So God wants a listener to become a disciple, as James is saying, an obedient follower, one who listens to the Word intently and obeys it and becomes an effectual doer. That's what James is saying here this morning, doers of the Word. I was thinking about things that we do in life, people we go to. And one of those people I'm thinking about is a physician. When you're sick, you don't feel good, or you have a particular concern, who is one of the first people you call? Most people have family doctors, family practitioners, and so forth. So you call, you get an appointment, and you go see your doctor. And most of the time they will say, tell me what's going on with you. Most of the time I want to say, well, you tell me. But we got to let them know what's going on within our bodies or why we're not feeling well. And then he makes a diagnosis. And usually gives us instructions what we need to do. Gives a prescription, or maybe if your blood pressure's up or your other blood elements in your blood is not on the right levels, he'll say, you need to go on a diet. Or maybe some of you say, you know, you got some habits there you need to get rid of. And I won't go into all the habits because they're all different, right? We all have different habits. So you need to cut some of those out, doctor would say. So I'm going to put you on a regimen. I'm going to put you on a particular plan. I want you to stay with this plan. And I want to see you in 2 weeks or maybe a month or 3 months. And you go back. And your doctor said, did you do these things? Well, some of them. I thought about it. I read, you know, I looked at prescription, but I wasn't sure if I needed to take them or not. Well, he's not going to be very happy with you, is he? But as unhappy as somebody don't pay their doctor bills. Well, I don't think God is always happy with us. If we have the Word, we have it. He's given it to us. I'm so thankful that He has given us His Word, and it has been in existence all of these thousands of years, and we take it too often for granted. Yeah, we know what it says, and it's good, and if I have a need or have a situation I don't understand biblically, then I can turn to it and read and find it out. Well, there are some of those things we need to know in advance so that we will know how to respond and actually put it into action. So that's why James said it's not good, it's not enough just to hear the Word and receive it, but we need to put it into practice. And that's why he says if you really want to be blessed in your actions, in your life, you got to apply it. It's got to be seen, evident in your life. So when we listen to a sermon and read a devotional message or gain new insight from a book, we must determine to put it into practice what we've learned. So the equation, you know, is hearing plus doing equals growing. And that's what we want to do in our lives. We want to grow into the Word of God. So, until the Word, that truth, gives birth to faith, and faith gives birth to deeds. That's how it works in our lives. So, that means we are to obey the Word. That means we love the Word. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to love His Word, because the Word of God is the mind of God. He has given it us for practical reasons, so we will understand and learn more about Him, and that we can apply it to our lives on a daily basis. Until we do that, we will not really know and learn what we ought to know about Jesus and how He also obeyed the Word. And I used it in His life. When you read about Jesus and when He went to the wilderness and He was tempted, and He used the Scripture as the defense to why Satan shouldn't be tempting Him, Jesus used the Word so that not only Satan would know, but us, as we read the Word of God, know how to respond to temptations and those things that come about in our lives. So, another way we can put the Word of God in our action is not to forget our reflections. Forgotten reflections. So, James continues on, and unforgettable illustrations of the different ways or what's between hearing and doing. In verses 23 through 24, he gives us two things here. In verses 23 and 24, it's what you would say a negative example. But it's a positive negative example to give our attention. And in verse 25, he gives us the positive or the follow-up on verses 23 and 24 to see which is the difference that we should follow. So in verse 23, James says, "For if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at himself, his natural face, in a mirror." And in verse 24, James goes on to say, "For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Now, how many of you looked in the mirror this morning? I say every one of us did, didn't we? Or unless you backed up to it and didn't want to look at yourself. But I think there's never a day goes by I don't look at myself in the mirror. Because there's certain preparation men has to do. We have to shave, right? We have to groom our hair. What little hair we have. But you ladies, you put on your makeup and stuff. You'll make sure it's okay. Everything is smoothed out. Well, when you do that, do you walk away and say, "Well, I forgot what I looked like, so I got to go back and make sure everything is okay"? And that's what James is saying here. And what point I'm wanting to make here, too, the main purpose of a mirror is so that you can see yourself and make yourself look as clean and neat as possible, right? Now, if we'll go to that much trouble, we should go a little bit further when it comes to the Word of God and make sure everything is clean and good and neat on the inside, right? We should be more concerned about what's in here than what's out here, right? But we're not always that way. We're not always cut that way, are we? But James said we need to be. So as we look into a mirror of God's word, we see ourselves as we really are. We do. I really see myself as I am every time I look into the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit points something out in my life. And I said, yeah. And I can't argue with the Word of God. God's always right. So I have to agree with Him. And that's why the Word of God is given to us, so we will know that about ourselves. Just like looking in the mirror and seeing, guess what? A mirror doesn't lie, does it? It doesn't. It shows exactly every little spot on your face or every little wrinkle or whatever. Freckle. And so some of those things you grow when you're a kid. But there's some things in your life that remain physically. And the things that should remain and go on practically are the things that the Word of God points out in our lives that we should follow. So, He hears the Word, but it is forgotten and has no abiding influence on Him, is what James is saying. If we look at the mirror and walk away, forget what we look like. So the point that hearing without doing is of little and no benefit, James is saying. So, a mirror has, it doesn't lie, as I said. It reflects you exactly as you are, and the Word of God does that too. And we see ourselves as we are in the Word of God, as the Lord teaches us in His Word. So if we do not do anything about it, as James said, we are like the man who looks in the mirror and sees what he ought to do, but then just goes away and forgets about it. Don't worry about it. For example, as I was saying, as you get ready, what if I look in the mirror and I know I got to shave? I got maybe a day or two, which I use. I don't go a day or two without shaving, but say I went a day or two and I know I need to shave. And then I walk away and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or I look in the mirror and I say, boy, my hair is getting really long. And it needs cutting. But I don't cut it. What if I look in the mirror and I got mud or dirt all over my face? And I say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. And I don't wash my face. So, see, that's what the Word of God says. See, the Word does not merely contain truth. It is the truth. It defines the truth. It tells us exactly who we are and what we need to do in respect of that. See, the Word of God puts a different perspective on our lives than what we really think sometimes that is the natural things for us to do. And reading the Word of God for a believer should be a natural response, because we know that it helped us to get saved, right? It helped us to know who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit did the working and prompting and preparation of our hearts, and we realize, yeah, I'm a sinner. And once we're saved, that's not it. The Bible says, you know, now we need to grow. We've heard the Word, and we received the Word. We were saved by the Word, by the Holy Spirit's prompting. And now, this is the good part about it. We put it into practice. We actually do what we know that the Word of God says. It reminds me of two little boys who was out playing, and one little boy looks at the other, his friend. He said, hey, I don't know what you had for breakfast this morning. He said, you had eggs for breakfast. He said, no, I didn't. I didn't have eggs this morning. I had eggs yesterday. Well, what happened? He didn't wash his face, did he? So it was very apparent that he had a dirty face and he didn't do anything about it. How many of you ever said that to you? Hey, you had such and such for breakfast. And you, no, that was yesterday or the day before. No, that doesn't normally happen to us, does it? But it did in this situation to this little boy, and he was caught. So, what I'm saying here in verse 24, it gives us the image of one that sees the Word of God pointing out something in their life, needing correction, then leaves and doesn't take care of it. See, we need to know who we are in Christ, and the Word of God helps us do that. That's what the Word of God is for. What Christ can do through us, then continue to be what we are, allowing God to transform us into His image. Now, comes the abiding. Blessed abiding. That's why verse 25 said, if you do the Word, or practice the Word, or apply it to your life, you're going to be blessed. How many of you want to be blessed by God? We all say yes, we do. Well, if you want to be blessed, do what the Word says. The doer of the Word is described right here in verse 25 when it says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and that liberty also can be translated as free or freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So, let's look at the doer. The word doer of the word carefully considers what he hears, being mindful is, and make application of it in his life. So, this verse describes the action of obedient listeners. Sometimes we hear, but we don't always listen, right? We hear, but there is a distinction between hearing and listening. So, James speaks of stooping down as so to see an object more clearly and to know it better. And this picture reminds me of when John and Peter, Mary said, approached John and Peter and said, Jesus is alive. I've seen him. I witnessed this. And it so excited John and Peter. And they weren't sure, but they had to go see by themselves. And they started what? Running. And John, being a fast runner, he whipped on by Peter. And he got to the tomb before Peter. And what did he do? He stooped down at the entrance of the tomb, looking in to get a clear picture view of what Mary had just told him. And here comes Peter a few steps behind and does what? Runs right on in by John. But John took time to stop and evaluate and reflect and clearly see the picture of the tomb where Jesus had laid. And you see, that gives us understanding. See, that understanding comes from reading the Word of God. All the pictures and all the perspectives and all the things that we need to know are right here in the Word of God. All we got to do is just to get in it and look for it. And many of you buy things on a regular basis, things you got to put together, things that gives instructions how to use it, the warnings about not using things wisely. And sometimes we just lay that aside and then realize halfway through the project we should have read them from the beginning. So is the Word of God. Day by day, if we read God's instructions, we'll stay out of less trouble. Be less temptations, less things that will distract our lives and give us more understanding how we are to live our lives. Now, I was thinking about this as well. Only if a musician learns the laws of music, its notes, its keys, its timing, is he is at liberty to play to make music instead of just noise. You like to listen to good music, right? You just don't want to listen to a bunch of noise that's not in the right tune. If you have not learned and practiced the rules, you are not liberty to play the right music. So, according to verse 25 here, doers will be blessed in what he does. And that's pretty good reason to be a doer of the word and not just a merely hearer only. See, the way of obedience is the way of a blessing. So, in closing, Jesus closed, I think, his message on the Sermon on the Mount with the illustration in Matthew chapter 7 about the wise builder, the man who built his house upon rock. Only obedience to the word builds a life of Jesus, the rock of ages. There's a song, you know, Rock of Ages, the cleft for me. We want to build our life on a solid ground, and the Word of God gives us that way to do it. See, God's Word is a mirror. It shows us that our sins are, and also what we can do in Christ's righteousness. So, remember this one key thing here this morning. And it's taken from 2 Corinthians 3:18, kind of paraphrase, but it's the more time you spend looking into God's mirror, and this verse talks about that, the more you should reflect Jesus' images. So the more we spend in the Word of God, reading it and applying it, the more our lives will reflect the image of Christ. See, scriptures intertwine in line with one another. They reflect. We learn that on Wednesday night, don't we? In our Bible studies, how scriptures reflect and apply to others, and how the authors refer to other places in the Bible, that it draws a conclusion of how the Bible interwines and interacts in our lives. And the more we study it, the more we read it, and the more we put it into use, the more our lives reflect the life of Christ. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? To please Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You this morning. Just wish we had more time this morning to give more allegiance to Your word in chapter 1 about this hearing and receiving and doing Your word. And doing Your word would be blessed. May we take it serious. May we take time each day to read Your word, if it's only for 5 minutes, Lord, we'll be blessed when we walk out the door, when we go about our daily routines, we're actually applying the word of God in our life. Maybe telling someone else about You, about living it out in our own life, in some good work or deed. Reading the Word of God changes our attitude. Reading Your Word changes our outlook and gives us a new perspective, a different perspective. It gives us Your perspective. And if we look at Your perspective, then it changes our perspective. Because our perspective on life is not always the right one. So every walk of life, no matter what we do or involved in, if we take You with us, if we have the Word of God implanted in our hearts, our reactions and our conduct and our responses are going to be the way you would do it. And your way is the best way. So I pray this morning that every one of us here this morning will search down deep inside. Is that word really implanted? Or is it just on the surface? Have I really applied myself? Or am I applying the Word of God in my life? If not, may we take a serious account of that and do that today, right now. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation. I'll be here at the front to talk with you, pray with you. As the song says, have you any room for Jesus? Let us sing.